And we welcome you into another edition of Commodore Hour. We are live at the Commodore Grill inside the Holiday Inn here on West End in Vanderbilt, next to the Vanderbilt campus in Nashville. Great to have you with us. Coming up in a couple minutes, Coach Tim Corbin will join us as we look ahead to the week coming up. It'll be Western Kentucky over at Hawkins Field tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And then Florida this weekend, three games against the Gators, 6 o'clock Friday, 6 Saturday, and then noon for the series finale coming up on Sunday. Also, we should mention the spring game for football Saturday at 1 o'clock. Coach Clark Lee is going to join us a little bit later on this hour. That will go with lacrosse, with baseball, a surplus sale, all kinds of stuff going on the Vanderbilt campus, especially on Saturday. So hopefully you see everybody out there. And if you need all the info, you can go to VUCommodores.com and find out everything you need to know. So coming up in just a moment, we will have Coach Tim Corbin stay with us as we get things going from the Commodore Grill. This is Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to Nashville and the Commodore Grill here at the Holiday Inn on West End for Commodore Hour. Great to have everybody with us. Kevin Inger with Andrew Allegretta, Gus Wettekamp, our producer, and we're joined by Coach Tim Corbin. Team comes in at 22-9, 5-7 in the SEC, took one out of three against Auburn over the weekend. 5-1 Tigers on Friday. The bats got rolling on Saturday, 19-4, and then 8-2 yesterday. Feel like you had some momentum going into yesterday's game, especially after Saturday?
The score would kind of tell you that, but I think momentum is established early in the game by both from a pitching standpoint and a defensive standpoint, and games are games. I mean, we could have won that 5-4. We just happened to win it 19-4, and I think at least from an older perspective, look at those games, and one, it just got kind of out of hand, and It's almost like if you lose a game, you can get rid of that one real quick versus you can 5-4, and they certainly did, and they certainly pitched well on Sunday.
They got going early yesterday. Where did Patrick Riley struggle after a good start last weekend?
Pitches across the plate. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. But I think also from a defensive standpoint, there were two instances, at least in my mind, three. Second inning, the comebacker, which we got one at second base, but we didn't turn the double play. If we turn the double play, it doesn't lead to the walk and then the home run, and it doesn't lead to the three runs. We get out of that inning because your pitcher, you think, is pitching from the windup. And then in the next inning, we virtually did something similar. We had an opportunity to turn a double play, throw a ball away. We had an opportunity to turn another double play. We didn't cover at second base because we were shifted. We talked about it, but we didn't. And the next thing you know, you extend those innings. So I think when you get into situations like yesterday, and you asked about Patrick, but there's small moments inside that game that sure. We lose and that they end up forcing the outcomes that we're getting.
Wonder if you could explain that for a second. You talked about that possible double play with Jonathan Vastine at second base. You said you were shifted, but you couldn't cover second base because of the shift. What was the nuance in there? Were you hoping that Vastine could be at second base, or it just wasn't going to happen because of the way that the defense was lined up?
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen that way. It was going to happen as a 5-6-3. I mean, it was kind of like the other day when we did turn that double play to end the game. It became a 3-4-1 double play because Gordon was shifted over, and we jammed DeShera, and he hits it to Noland. Noland throws it to the shift, and the shift is the second baseman rather than the shortstop, and then he throws to the left-handed pitcher, where you think about a left-handed pitcher covering first base, that's tougher than a right-handed pitcher because he has to move his footwork. So in that case that you're asking, Andrew, yeah, it was that would have been – there was no coverage at second base, unfortunately, and so Diaz had to just get the out at first, but it extended the inning.
You talked a little bit about Patrick and his struggles to find the plate. I asked this as a broad topic, and I think we've kind of touched on it at times, right? So on Sunday, we've seen Bryce Cunningham start. We've seen Hunter Owens start. We've seen Nick Maldonado start before he got banged up, and, of course, Pat. The big picture is, and I guess it's different from guy to guy, but the challenge is from going to bullpen to starter because Patrick was lights out against South Carolina, 14 strikeouts in that game. It's been a harder transition for him. What are the nuances there?
It is. It's just getting a comfort. And, not that Patrick eventually is a starter, will be a starter, and he may be a starter this weekend. But I think at certain points of a pitcher's growth, Andrew, guys learn typically as younger people by pitching out of the bullpen first. And then it's the ability to get inside a game and create your own rhythm. And that's learned. It's a learned skill. And if you haven't done a lot of it at a high level, you haven't done it in high school long enough, then you know, learning here on the run in the SEC against older teams right now, it's tough. It's not easy. But I think, you know, Patrick certainly is equipped with a lot of good tools, and he certainly can do that. It's more of a learned skill right now.
Coach Tim Corbin is our guest. Mentioned the 19-4 game on Saturday, a 9-run fourth inning. Did it feel like that inning was just a long time coming, and maybe just felt like that it finally got that breakthrough that you're looking for?
Yeah, well, coming after Friday, I mean, Friday hits were very expensive. They were tough to come by, and we weren't getting them. We were getting down to first base occasionally with the walk, but we weren't hitting the runs in. And I do feel like the dam broke to some extent. We got off a good swing to start that with Jonesy, and then after that there were several kids who hit the ball very well, and then we hit the ball well throughout the game. I do think the momentum may have started with Javi's catch. I think that was a great play, and I thought it brought some energy back in the dugout, but at the same time you have to make it happen on the field. So we did. You know, guys swung the bat well, and guys who came in swung the bat well, Troy Leneve, and that was good to see for those guys.
Yeah, what about for Jack Bulger? How much can a game like that help him to have a five-hit game?
It can help because he's a kid that works at hitting a lot. I mean, it's something that he's done well for a long period of time as an amateur at the USA level. And not to get hits. I think the issue for a lot of people, whether you're young or older, is to chase them. And when you chase them, you start squeezing the bat a little bit differently, and it becomes a little bit more difficult. And it does get down to the quality of what you're doing and your ability to get inside those moments, feel the batter's box, be able to breathe, be able to simplify the game. And it's a difficult thing to do. But I think Jack was certainly in that moment on Saturday because he hit different personalities of balls. I mean, whether it was a shaped breaking ball or a fastball, he was hitting them. So I think that'll help him moving forward.
Well, what's the challenge for him catching maybe one day a week or twice a week, and then knowing that you have that on your plate for maybe that Saturday game where it's going to be the DH role the rest of the time for him?
DH is a challenge. I mean, it's for a guy who likes to stay moving, particularly a catcher, both for Dom and Bulge, but we can flip Dom over to first base. The challenge is that's all that's on your mind is hitting. Mm-hmm. And I think the one cool thing about defense is it takes offense away from you at certain points, and guys need that because you can't be thinking about offense when you're out on the field. So there's an element to being a DH where you have to decompress in between innings and use those moments to kind of, okay, move forward. Those were my first at-bats or what have you, and regardless of whether I was successful or not successful, I've got to move forward with them because the game's still in question. That, too, is a skill. And guys, some guys are good at it. Some guys not as good.
Coach Tim Corbin is our guest. We're coming back with more on Commodore Hour in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back on the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretti here alongside Kevin Ingram and baseball coach Tim Corbin, wrapping up the weekend that was against Auburn. Don't forget, a ton of stuff is coming up this weekend right there on Jess Neely. I think women's tennis has a match. Lacrosse has a game. There's a surplus sale inside Memorial Gym. Vandyville starts at 10:30 in advance of the spring game on Saturday. So a bunch of stuff is out there for a ton of people to check out. You can go to vucommodores.com to learn all of the details. Coach, I've got a couple of questions about the offense that I want to ask you. But first off, you did play a couple of freshmen throughout the course of the week. Rob Gordon got his very first start back on Tuesday against Austin Peay, came up with a 3-run double. He played again on Friday, had another double in that game as well. And then Jonathan Vastine got some run and got a couple of hits throughout the course of the series against Auburn. Just your take on a couple of young kids, two infielders that might impact this program both today and down the road.
I thought they did well. You go back to Friday night, you mentioned his first hit. His first two at-bats, you could feel the tension in the kid, and he was facing a good left-hander too, and that's why he was in there. It was the right-handed matchup against a left-handed pitcher with Tate being out. But I thought he handled himself well. I mean, I thought he did some nice things defensively, and I think Rob's going to end up being a pretty good hitter. He's got good hand-eye coordination, and then you mentioned he got a hit later on in the weekend. And then I like Vasty. Vasty, I think Rob and Vastine are both going to play in the infield, where I'm not sure, but both are very capable. But Vasty's into the game. He thinks the game. He talks the game. He's he's got a good acumen for the game. You can coach him as you can coach Rob, but I like the way he swings the bat. I mean, he's aggressive. He takes full hacks. He's not shy, and I like that about him. And he moved the ball quite well both Saturday and Sunday too.
All right, so two questions that I have about the offense. The first one, candidly, I sit here and I'm kind of just perplexed. I don't necessarily have an answer. It's more just lobbing it to you to see what you think. The double plays have come up a handful of times throughout the course of the season. Dom hit into an unfortunate one, but a critical one back on Friday with the bases loaded and one out that finished that inning. Is there anything to be made of the double plays offensively, or is that just kind of the way the ball has bounced throughout the course of the season?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, when you hit those balls, they have to be hit in certain areas of the field. But I think the other part of it, too, Andrew, is a pitcher's job in those situations with a double play is to get you to bend over and hit the ball out in front of the plate, in most cases, unless you get jammed with a fastball. And I think what he's reliant on is the hitter to get a little bit anxious, to get a little bit overly aggressive and move the ball. And, you know, you can go back to Enrique's double plays. I mean, you think Enrique moving into a double play. I mean, he's hitting four of them, and it was almost a fifth the other day. But what it comes down to is contact made out in front of the plate that goes towards a second baseman or shortstop. So I think with time and with age, what you'll see is with certain hitters that are in this league is less offerings at those pitches. Older guys, typically, they'll check off on that ball, knowing fully that my approach is to look for a ball up, I'm going to move the ball, and I'm going to try to move it, you know, hard somewhere. But the pitcher is trying to counterbalance that, and that's really what we've run into is kind of movement out in front of the plate and moving those balls into pockets of the field that can be converted into two outs.
All right, so the second question that I have about the offense, and part of what makes Vanderbilt's offense so good is the ability to run. Enrique Bradfield Jr. has 18 stolen bases on the season. We know Spencer can run. We know Carter can run. It was just one stolen base against Auburn over the weekend, and I get part of it right is simply getting on base. Mm-hmm. That's a huge factor on whether or not that you can run. But there have been times where I don't know if it's a situational thing or are you feeling things where teams are actively limiting Vanderbilt's offense's ability to exercise its strength by stealing a base or laying down a bunt or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think teams are – if you go into a season prior to this one and you've stolen a lot of bases or you're one of those guys like Enrique, for instance, then, yeah, they're going to do everything they can to change rhythms on the mound, throw over to first base as much as you can, and delay the timing mechanism of a runner. And that's what people are doing quite well. And they're also, in some ways, taking away parts of the field so he can't bunt or we can't bunt. But at the same time, I think that's where a person of a player starts to recognize that, you know what, if they're trying to hold me, I can still run. If they're trying to take away the bunt, I can still bunt, because it really comes down to refining the actions of what you're trying to do. So we're not there yet, but we're certainly in these little struggles. We kind of learn the things that we're capable of doing and what we can't do, and hopefully we'll move in a direction where we can start to act differently against the opponents when they're trying to do that.
Are you seeing Parker Nolan coming around some? Three hits, a home run, drove in three, couple walks on Saturday.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just think his approach was pretty good. I thought he had good rhythm at the plate. I thought he was handling himself well, and I just felt like at some point in time Parker would do that. You can go back to Thursday night when we got to Auburn. I thought he was swinging the bat well, and I thought even his offerings on Friday night were okay. Tried to bunt, tried to do some things, but then he got into Saturday and really started to feel himself, and I thought even in Sunday he hit the ball relatively well. So, yeah, he's coming around. That'd be a big piece for us. I mean, any piece right now inside that lineup will be a big piece for us.
Does he have about as good as opposite field power as some of the guys you've had here over the years?
Yeah, he does. He's got good power that way. I mean, you look at his home runs, and a good share of them have come down the left field line. But I think his frustration, at least in January and February and March, was he really, really hit the ball so well in the course of the fall. and there was a looseness about him, and he was hitting balls back through the middle of the field and slightly to the pull side, not snap hook line drives, but balls hit to the pull side that he's spinning. And he, you know, he's fighting like hell to try to get back to that where he can spin the ball in the middle of the field. And I think he's getting closer in that way. And I think there's a good confidence about him right now. And I'm happy for him because everything that kid does, whether it's academics or athletics, he works very hard at it. And he's a Dean's List student. And he's made himself a Vanderbilt student. And he'll make himself a Vanderbilt baseball player, too.
Our guest is Coach Tim Corbin. One more from me. I want to ask you about, you talked earlier about Javier Baez and the catch he made and how it kind of gave you momentum. How much do you feed off defensive plays sometimes and that turn into offense when you get to the next half inning?
Well, when you're not moving the ball, you look for anything, right?
Anything.
You look for a guy in the stands that is yelling. Yeah, I mean, I think you do. I mean, we kind of talked about that Saturday morning, too. It's, you know, could be an event. It could be something that happens that moves us, but he certainly made that catch, but you know it was Spencer getting up there that next inning and just hitting a ball. Yeah, I mean just really sitting on a pitch and driving, and then after that it was Keegan and Bulger and Vaz and Vastein, and so we swung the bat well that inning. And we kind of fed off of it, and we didn't get any of that momentum. Now the area that we're going to try to clean up, and all these questions pertain to it, is the highs and lows. We're not really in the medium. You know, we're winning games big, losing games not really close. You can play one of those games that's a one-run or a two-run game. That would mean a lot to us right now, just to learn how to play those games, number one, and then win them. Last close game we've won is Michigan. Yeah, so it's been a long time. So we're going to try to get there.
Last question for me, Coach. I want to take a second. Of course, opening weekend across professional baseball, you and I yesterday, or a couple of days ago, I guess, talked about Walker Buehler as his opening day start. Five innings pitched, five strikeouts. The Dodgers beat the Rockies. There's a whole host of them. Dansby had a couple of hits. Jack Leiter in double A, three innings, seven strikeouts. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic. But the one that grabbed my attention, and there's been a couple of nice articles, has been Colin Schneider with the Kansas City Royals. Mm-hmm. He came in a tie ball game against the Guardians in the 10th inning, did not allow a run, had a strikeout, and then the next inning, the Royals walked off the Guardians. So Colin Schneider gets his first professional strikeout and his first professional win. First off, your happiness level for a guy like that. But in addition, just some of the fond memories you had from Schneider in the program.
First of all, it's really hard to get used to the Guardians.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I did a really long Cleveland Guardians. Yeah.
But Colin Schneider, yes. I mean, that's a young man who's from Murfreesboro. We love his family. This year has been very tough on that family because of Sherry. Sherry going through cancer and now in remission, which is a great story in and of itself. Colin's track through high school and college has not been easy, too. He's lost close friends. He lost Donnie Everett in college. He lost a high school friend. And this kid came here, and he's self-made. He's just that kid who really, really worked at it. And even Brownie said last year, I remember Brownie saying, this kid's going to get in the big leagues because he's very consistent worker and he's very mindful of what he's doing. He's very serious about what he's doing. The thing I'll remember most about him and where I thought he had a chance is we played Arkansas his freshman year, brought him in. We played in a doubleheader on a Saturday. Benintendi was playing, and he pitched out of a huge jam, and we gave him the ball for the first time. And at that point right there, I said, this kid's going to end up being a pretty good one for us, and he was. He was very consistent for us, and he pitched it all different roles. I'm just happy for he, and I'm really happy for his family.
Did he get Benintendi in that ball game?
He sure did. He got him to pop up.
Oh, goodness. That's a difficult ask there.
Yeah, sure
Benintendi's an awfully good baseball player. Yeah. Very last one, Tyler Beattie, too, does make the Giants' opening day roster after going through his Tommy John a couple of years ago. That's going to bring a smile to your face as well.
It does. I'm really close with Tyler, but I'm really close with his dad, Walter. Walter's written a couple books as of late. Best changeup that we've had. I think Mikey Minor and Tyler Beattie. Mikey from the left side, Tyler from the right side. Best changeups we had at Vanderbilt. But I am. I mean, that kid turned away a first-round money to come to Vanderbilt, got drafted even higher, which doesn't happen. Happened to Mark Pryor, but it happened to Tyler Beattie. And the fact that he had such a great career, won a national championship, and now is coming back from Tommy John and on that team, I'm very happy for him. We got some good We got some good Vanderbilt people on that Giants team with P, Casale, Yastrzemski, and Antoine Richardson coaching first base.
I also saw Jack Leiter did a press conference that he sounded like he did here. Does his mentality and just kind of his approach, that seems like it's going to serve him well as he gets started in his pro career now?
Yeah, he's a pro. He's consistent. Everything he does. I mean, you just wanted him here longer so the younger kids could pick up on what he's doing because he's got such a good way of going about his business. But he's left it with some of our kids, and some of our kids are taking it further. But Jack's going to be a special one. I don't think it's going to take very long for him to get up there either and help that team.
Quick thought on the game tomorrow night, Western Kentucky here.
Yep. John Pawlowski, coach there, coached with him at Clemson my first 3 years. He was a tremendous coach, and certainly they got a team that's pretty offensive, very fast. I know that for sure. So right now Vanderbilt has to really be concentrating on Vanderbilt. We got to get better. That's all there is to it, and hopefully we'll do that tomorrow night.
Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks, guys.
It's Coach Jim Corbin joining us here for Commodore Hour at the Commodore Grill. When we come back, we're going to have Coach Clark Lee with us. We'll talk about the spring game coming up on Saturday. But 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Vanderbilt and Western Kentucky over at Hawkins Field in Florida will be here coming up this weekend. We're back with more in a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to the Commodore Grill here on West End Ave. Andrew Allegret alongside Kevin Ingram. Big thanks to head coach Tim Corbin. We recap the Auburn series a little bit. And, of course, don't forget they've got Western Kentucky coming up tomorrow, 6 p.m. first pitch at the Hawk, and then Florida starting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all mixed in, of course, with the Black and Gold weekend, which does include the football spring game. So it's our pleasure to welcome head football coach Clark Lee inside the Commodore Grill. Thanks so much for stopping by. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing excellent. Glad to be back with you guys, and excited for this week and obviously Saturday as well. So couldn't be better.
Give us the 30,000 foot. How has spring ball gone?
It's gone well. We've spent a lot of time just building into our identity. You know, I think last year was there was a lot of like entry level learning going on, and so you know it's about what you do a year ago. Now it's about how we do it and why we do it, and we really wanted this spring to develop an attitude of total effort. So we talk about the start, the middle, the finish, and the return every rep, and we want that to kind of bleed into everything we do. So that was the first step. The second was we wanted to develop an identity around toughness and a physical element to our game, a structured element to our game. And I think we've built into that. And then finally, just to develop some chemistry. And that could be, between the corner and safety, safety and linebacker, linebacker to D-line. You could be talking about O-line to running back and protection, quarterback to receiver. But just to build some chemistry so that, you know, Vanderbilt football puts all its energy on defeating the opponent, that we're not getting over hurdles, defeating ourselves. And I feel good about, you know, our advancement in all three of those areas. And I think this week for us is just about really kind of lassoing it all together and seeing how far we can deepen it and setting ourselves up for a great summer where we build into each of those areas through our training.
You stopped by the Tennessee weekend. And first off, great job with a couple of play-by-play calls.
Good, yeah. Yeah. Felt good about that.
Yeah, you did a good job. A couple of good stories mixed in, too. But you also mentioned the fact, and maybe this is juvenile, but you mentioned the fact that you felt like everybody was having fun. Do you still feel like that? What's the value of having that sort of emotion surrounding spring ball that can become a slog?
I'll say this. So I think a year ago we were really kind of giving surface level attention to the process required. So we were filling our days, but I didn't feel, I felt compliance, not commitment. As we got in the fall and we faced adversity through the season, I think whatever was kind of fake fell off, and I thought we really started to tighten bonds, and that did show up in performance. We improved as the year went on. But football was something we did, you know, like we cared about each other, and football just happened to be, you know, what we were doing on the side. I think now what we're building and what we're getting to is where football becomes intertwined with the brotherhood we're building. So these guys are bonding around the game. They're falling in love with the game. And I think that's a huge step for us because, the team that was here when we got here didn't know how to interact positively with football. Just it hadn't been a great run, and I think now they're finding that spirit, energy, and enthusiasm around doing something that's hard together and with coaches that love and care about them. And, that's really what's shined through this spring. It's not that we haven't had, there's always going to be long days and there's going to be moments where you're physically beat up. But I think what we're doing, what we're seeing is this rally around, a love of the game and a love of the people that they're doing it with. And, that'll win out over time.
Coach Clark Lee is our guest. Defense had a good day in the scrimmage on Saturday. How's that group coming along? Especially your defensive backs, guys like Justin Harris or Jalen Mahoney. I know they both had nice scrimmages on Saturday.
Yeah, I feel a little less inclined to to judge the scrimmage performance. We see it as just a point on a progression line.
Right.
What I'll say is they're learning how to play hard. And they're taking pride in that, and that's kind of showing up in everything they do. And so when you learn how to play hard and you get to the finish point with a physical attitude, good things happen. And, we talk a lot about it's not the yards that matter, it's the points that matter. So when we're collapsing around the ball on breakouts, again, finishing physically on the perimeter, you have all 11 guys on the field pursuing the ball at a high rate. You're gonna generate turnovers. You're gonna have the ability, and sometimes one of my favorite clips from the scrimmage on defense was a 10-yard gain, and yet how physically we finished the end of that run, the receiver's gonna think twice about cutting back inside. It's funny, Andrew. If I could just go back to the 10-year-old baseball,
yeah, let's go.
That we were talking about the Tennessee game.
That's good.
And I'm teaching my son, who he got his first time in kid pitch, he got hit his first at bat. And so now he enters that box and he's just a little timid, you can just sense it. And so we're trying to work through the feeling of, being a little afraid in the box. And I was with him yesterday. It was an afternoon where I got some time and I was just like, hey man, I'm going to be the 10-year-old on the mound. You're the 10-year-old in the box. And I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm scared to death that I can't throw a strike and I'm not trying to hit you. And what you're telling me is that you're not ready to take the plate. So I feel great. I'm going to throw the ball over the plate. And I was like, at some point you have to own that batter's box. You got to step in. You got to crowd the plate. And you got to make sure he knows that you're daring him to put one over the plate. And I feel the same way about defensive football and offense too. But we got to own the batter's box. We have to show that when you cut the ball back on our defense, you're going to get hit. And it's not going to be comfortable. And it's not just by one person. It's by a wave of people. And I think once we establish that type of identity, we're going to be a fun team to watch. And I think that's a great starting point. Again, I think winning is the result of process. And I think the first part of our process is being a team that loves each other, loves the game, and plays with relentless effort.
I say this with love and respect. That is the nicest way anyone has ever said, we're going to hit you and it's going to be uncomfortable.
Well, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal.
See, I was going to ask you, did you own the inside of the plate during your college baseball days?
I hope to say that I did. I wasn't owning much of anything. That's why I ended up playing football, though. That was the problem.
In all seriousness, I was going to bring this up later. But since we've walked down the baseball path, we also talked about the fact that one of your best team memories was at Birmingham Southern. You guys won the 2001 NAIA National Championship. One of your assistant coaches was?
Butch Thompson.
Yeah, who's now the head coach at Auburn.
That's
so the
right.
Vandy boys just saw him.
Yep.
What do you remember about that trip? Because you guys took on, and I'm walking down, I know some things about college baseball that I wish would just kind of evaporate from my brain, but I know a few things.
Yeah.
You took on Lewis and Clark State. Yeah. In Lewiston, Idaho. They had one of the all-time winningest head coaches in all of college baseball, Ed Sheff, much in the same way Don Meyer was respected at Lipscomb, Ed Sheff was respected at Lewis Clark at an NAIA school. What do you remember about that trip?
Well, one other side here is that so Butch was the pitching coach and Matt Braga was the hitting coach. Matt Braga, who ended up being the head coach at Tennessee Tech and then went to Rice. And he's no longer there. He's back at Tech.
Yeah.
So, there was a good coaching staff.
Yeah.
well, the trip, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is there was a McDonald's in the parking lot, and I think I went to it. I fell in love with the quarter pounder with cheese, and that did not go well.
No, that's a long trip out there to Lewiston, Idaho.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, it was spectacular. We, you know, first of all, NAIA baseball, you know, was at the time it was a great level. We beat Vanderbilt that year. We beat Georgia that year. Yeah, we had a good team, and we had a team again. It was well coached. Brian Shoup was the head coach. We cared about each other, what we were doing. He was a substance based teacher, you know. I mean, similar to Corbs, you know. And we went out there and just had a chip on our shoulder, and obviously we knew we had to beat the host team, and that hadn't been done very much, but. We found a way, and we peaked at the right time, and it was a blast. I mean, what a, you know, I probably don't reflect on that time enough, just because life moves at 100 miles an hour. But yeah, it was spectacular.
Brian Shoup would go on to be a very good head baseball coach at UAB. Too.
That's exactly right.
Let's stop baseball for a second. We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the football program. Talking with head football coach Clark Lee back in a couple of seconds on the Commodore Hour. After this, across the Vanderbilt Sports Network.
We're back on Commodore Hour, live from the Commodore Grill here on West End at the Holiday Inn Vanderbilt. Great to have everybody out and joining us. And coming up this weekend, it's going to be a huge weekend on campus. Vanderbilt baseball against Florida. We got lacrosse, we got tennis, and we have football on Saturday, 1 o'clock for the Black and Gold Spring Game. Coach Clark Lee going into season number 2, and he joins us here at the Commodore Grill. Great to have Coach with us. You talk about having an identity on offense. What is the goal there? What are you trying to achieve?
Well, you know, we have to be more explosive. I think, you know, looking back a year ago, you know, we love to, you know, control the clock, control the game on offense. We got to finish with 7 points, but you have to be able at times just to puncture a run or a pass and score in chunks. And you know, we talk about there's design elements of that, so you can design explosives. There's obviously, you know, players making plays, and we hope through developing the team we have and then recruiting, and, you know, we get bigger, faster, stronger. We feel that way. But, you know, we really look at three things that can trigger explosive plays. The first is that idea of like total effort. So just play hard, make the choice to play hard. And that could be a receiver. You know, like one thing that, you know, just with our receivers this spring, how much better we've gotten at blocking on the perimeter. Well, you know, it's a process-driven approach, but if we train those guys to engage or to find a block down the field or when the ball's away to climb to the middle and find who's ever trying to close it to make the finishing tackle, if they're trained that way, you know, maybe it happens one time out of ten, but they're going to find the block that springs a run. And so total effort's a part of it. Trusting the scheme is a part of it. So, you know, if we can get communication across the front, this goes back to that chemistry idea too, where we can get pressures blocked up, you know, we have a chance to find the one-on-one. And we don't need to press into the explosives. They'll happen naturally through what we do. So, you know, total effort, a trust in the scheme, and then finally, you know, fighting for every blade of grass. And that's something that's been a program mantra. But, you know, again, the choice to cut the ball back, the choice not to run out of bounds, the choice to find a second block down the field, you know, those things will unlock explosives as well. So we have to get we have to be able to move the ball in chunks, and we've been able to do that this spring to a point, and I think we're going to continue to look to do that. But, you know, the other thing is just owning our operation. That's been a big focus this spring as well, where, you know, we can't self-sabotage pre-snap penalties. Not only is it about, like, not, you know, self-sabotaging, it's also how do we weaponize our operation? How do we make it so that we can go on multiple cadences and check the sideline and get in a good play? Like, the goal would be to never run a bad play. And it's not that, like, inside zone isn't always a good option, but we want to be able to be creative. We want to be able to stress defenses. And, you know, you do that by explosive plays and by operation. And we spent a lot of time this spring, particularly as a staff, just saying, you know, again, can we get to the point where all our energy is focused on putting pressure on the opposition? And when you do that, you give yourself a chance late in games. You know, when you make it easy on the other team, you know, they don't feel that stress and pressure. And too often, I think in every game, with the exception of one last year, that, you know, the opponent scored first, you know, and so you're from the jump, get in a situation where you're playing from behind. And so we got to do a better job with that. But a lot of that has to do, it's not magic. It's about 11 guys doing their job each snap. It's about being ready to play. And offensively, we're going to own our operation, and we're going to be explosive. And it's important to be explosive.
I want to ask you about the running backs a little. Where's Patrick Smith grown the most? And maybe the same question for Rocco Griffin. And also, how close is Ray Davis to being back and good to go?
Well, the two guys that are healthy, and really, I mean, the group in general has taken a big jump, I feel like. You know, we look at film from a year ago in spring and watch Rocco and just watch how, it's, you know, to see him now, to see how he's transformed himself. And it's a compliment to him, certainly, to Brandon Horgan, our strength coach. I mean, he is running at a different speed. And I think what Rocco has been able to do is build experience through repetition and a lot of the things he needed to work on from just a play awareness standpoint. For example, in the scrimmage on Saturday, we hit a drive route to Jaden McGowan, and it was an explosive play. It was a first and 10 snap. The defense was blitzing, and Ken found Jaden right over the ball, and Jaden ran out, and I think it was over 20 yards. And on that play, the defense brought two players, the mic and our anchor, our overhang. And the guard was technically responsible for the overhang and the back was responsible for the mic. But because the mic blitzed first, the guard sat on it. And so Rocco was right behind the guard expecting to block the mic and recognized that the overhang was also blitzing. And so he came off of it, and which is chemistry. And he went and blocked, and he got just enough of the overhang to get the ball off. That wasn't happening a year ago. And I think for Rocco, he just has so much more comfort playing it within the structure, within the system. He's got physical tools and physical skills. You know, the running back position is, you know, it's certainly about running the ball, but, I mean, there's so much more, you know, again, in protections as pass catchers. And so, you know, he's developed. I think he's become way more multifaceted in year two. And he's added a little more punch to his runs too, which is great. You know, Patrick, I mean, he's still young, but he's continued his progress. I mean, I thought from fall into the season, he made as much progress as anyone. And he's continued that. I mean, he's a tough runner. He's got the ability to make plays in space. You know, he's good in protection. And he's the good news, too, is he's adding weight, you know. So I think he just got over 185, which is a huge win.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Hey, Kevin, it's different, man. Hate to tell you. Yeah. But, yeah, so that group is coming along. And Ray, you know, Ray Davis, he's got to get himself healthy. He's working hard at that. And, you know, we feel like we have some really good options there.
Talking with head coach Clark Lee as we get set for the spring game, which is coming up this Saturday. It's a 1 p.m. start at Vanderbilt Stadium. Coach, I'm going to ask you that question. Tell me about the quarterback room. Oh. What have we learned? Whether it's Ken, whether it's Mike, whether it's AJ, whatever it happens to be, what have we learned about the quarterback room? I don't know what you thought that question was going to be. I figured the typical question that gets poked at a coach throughout the course of spring ball and fall ball as the quarterback spot. Yeah. So there it is.
There it is. Well, first of all, they're all three. I mean, obviously AJ's new, and so he's learning at hyper speed right now. But he's got natural ability and natural skill, and I think that's shown through. I mean, he's been able to go out and make throws, make plays, and he's learning to play within the system. I think with Mike and Ken, you know, you really had two guys who had, in the COVID freshman year, playing in one system, transitioning in their second year into a new system. So it's really like you're dealing with freshmen again. And we've talked about this, but like, there's just like this beginner's flow sometimes where you go out and you're kind of playing on instinct and maybe you don't really know what you're doing, but you know, the reads are simple and you make the throws and you accumulate stats and it's just easy. And then there's an expert flow, which is like, you know, what we watch Tom Brady do. And it's like, he knows exactly what play needs to be called, where the protection's set, who the point is, what the reads are, and he can get to them instantaneously. And in between that is uncomfortable growth. And I think for both Mike and Ken, you see this through the work they put in this winter, both in the film room and meeting, but also with their teammates on the field. They have acquired a deeper expertise in what we're asking them to do. And if that position can be right, it unlocks the potential of the other 10 on the field. So I'm really pleased with you know, how they've developed. I think Ken early in the spring was hurt, and we've kind of gotten him back full go, and I think he's had some good practices. So Saturday will be fun. I mean, it'll be fun to watch those guys perform, and, you know, that won't be the final chapter, but it's a nice just checkpoint for where they are.
Last question from me, a simple, what can fans expect when they come out to the spring game? I know it's not necessarily going to be, let's put four quarters and divide them up into two, and it looks like a perfect game, but just give fans a sense of what they might be able to take in on Saturday.
Well, we're gonna play football. I mean, I think we got 109 plays in this past Saturday. And so, you know, and which obviously you're splitting that up really with four groups, but you know, we had players that played 80 plays, you know, so we played a game. Saturday won't be different. We may not go as long. I think part of the spring game is you want to get out healthy. So, but the first half, we'll play ball, and second half, we'll probably run the clock. It's going to be offense versus defense. Again, we just don't have the depth to actually split the team. And, you know, we're going to try to make it as you know, real, as much of real football as we can. You know, the score will be a little goofy just because when you go offense versus defense, it is. But to me, if you're a football fan and you want to just watch college football and you want to see a team that's going to be hungry to be on the field and get after it, it'll be a fun afternoon to watch and to be around it.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for the time.
Always awesome to be with you guys. Look forward to the next time.
All right. It's Coach Clark Lee joining us here at the Commodore Grill for this edition of Commodore Hour. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. We're back on Commodore Hour inside the Commodore Grill here at the Holiday Inn on West End, just next to the Vanderbilt campus. Kevin Ingram, Andrew Greta, really appreciate our guest tonight, Coach Tim Corbin, for the first half hour, and Coach Clark Lee from Vanderbilt football for the last couple segments. Of course, the spring game, 1 o'clock on Saturday. And, Andrew, we will have a broadcast from 1 to 3 on Saturday. Really looking forward to it. As Coach said, the first half will be like a regular football game. The second half, maybe a running clock or something more to that effect. But hope to have some good interviews and enjoy the Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. First off, fans can listen right here on this station. It'll be on ESPN 94.9 Plus, as always, available on the BU Commodores Game Day app to stream that way as well. Of course, there will be the SEC Network Plus telecast, so you can get both television and radio for Vanderbilt spring game coming up 1 p.m. on Saturday. We're going to do some different things. We'll be down on the field, which will make it interesting. But what it does allow us to do, Kevin, like we talked about, is basically turn it kind of into a talk show. We'll call some plays. We'll talk about the guys. But in addition, we'll talk with head coach Clark Lee. He'll stop by at halftime. We'll get some player guests. We'll talk with some coaches as well. So from 1 to 3, we'll kind of have an interspersed game broadcast as well as a talk show, kind of a de facto Commodore Hour. Which I'm certainly looking forward to doing with you, with Norm, and getting the crew out there.
Now, is Norm going to be the designated pass catcher in case, you know, like a fade route goes a little too long to that corner?
I mean, he did catch 20 catches, right, in one game? I think that was his claim to fame, right?
Yeah, he had the school record.
Yeah, 20 in, oh, goodness, the Hall of Fame Classic, I guess, in 1982, mm-hmm. Right? As much as he claims that he has no athletic skills, he certainly has athletic skills, so if someone misfires into the corner down there, yeah, we're gonna scatter, and Norm's going to catch it.
And it's all going to be on tape, too. I mean, those things, you know, they don't go away.
So basically what I feel like we're setting it up is we need somebody. If one of the quarterback wants to accidentally throw it toward us,
right?
Yeah, accidentally, yeah, let's do it.
Well, we'll talk to those guys. I've enjoyed being out there and watching some practice. Been out several times here. And as we've said on this show and on our podcast, too, it feels like a fall practice when you go out here in the spring. And I think that's one thing that feels like a real positive to me.
You know, something we didn't talk about, too, is the energy that the new coaches have brought, whether it's the defensive coordinator, Nick Howell, whether it's the wide receivers coach, Alex Bailey. But, hey, look, I'm really excited to see some of those running backs. We touched on it some. We're going to wrap up our show here, but I think there's some skill set in that running back room from Ray Davis, Patrick Smith, Rocco Griffin, and then the freshman that's been out here in the spring, Maurice Edwards. He's talented, too.
Appreciate Gus Wedekamp and our studios taking great care of us, as always. For Angela Legretta, I'm Kevin Ingram. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Vanderbilt and Western Kentucky, 6 o'clock start from Hawkins Field. Andrew have the call of that. I'll have it on SEC Network Plus with Andrew Harris. Everybody have a great night. Thanks for joining us here at the Commodore Grill for Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.